kids, where are you? Grace kids, let's tell them we love them. Amen. Just so you know, this sermon is already better than the last one because I have my glasses this service. All right, I had forgotten my glasses last service, and it was a very short sermon. Riley, do not be stealing my glasses, all right? Short sermons come. Well, hey, a couple of weeks ago, we started a series about the gospel and what the gospel is, what it's about, because it's truly, if you look at the church, that's what we should be about. We're purveyors of the gospel. So what is the gospel? R.C. Sproul said it very simply like this. He said the gospel is Jesus. His birth, his incarnation, his birth, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and everything in the middle. That is the gospel. If you want to understand the gospel in its fullness, the gospel is and always has been and always will be about Jesus, about everything about him. Now, the gospel raises some questions. I mean, there's a lot of questions that are raised when we talk about the gospel, and the one we will struggle with today may be one of the more profound ones that some of you, I'll bet you, in this room have struggled with. And it's this. Does God hear the prayers of every person? Does God hear the prayers of every person? We, in an age where we want to be inclusive, and we want to, you know, y'all have all seen the bumper sticker coexist, right? It has all the symbols on it. Some of the symbols I don't even know, right? So, you know, you want to, you know, coexist, and we have, you know, we want to have this sort of inclusivism. We want to believe that God hears the prayers of everybody. Now, let me just say this. Your theological decisions, and you have theological decisions. Some of you are going, I didn't know that. Yeah, you do. If you have a belief about God, that is a theological decision you've come to. You have theological conclusions that you've reached. Now, you've reached those conclusions based on one or two ways. You've traveled one or two roads. One road is the road of feeling and preference. You said, this is what I feel, this is what I prefer, this is what I want to be true. I want it to be true that if I give $10 today at the church, God will give me $1,000 next week. Can I get an amen? All right, yeah, you want that to be true, right? And that's a feeling, and you sort of want to go down that road, and you may want that to be true, or you may want to, in this respect, say, you know what? God loves the world. The Bible says that. So I think because God loves the world, God hears and honors every prayer out there, and that's just how it is. You will want that to be true, right? Now, the other way you could be informed is through Scripture. You can allow the Bible to speak to your heart, to speak to your mind, to shape your mind, to shape your thoughts, to shape your ideas, and Scripture can inform your decisions. But one of those two roads you've traveled today, and when we deal with this issue about does God hear the prayer of everyone, this is going to be at the core. Because you're going to fight today, and just so you know, you're going to fight your feelings and what you want and what the Bible is going to specifically say. And so we're going to be as kind as I can be. I'm going to be as clear as I can be. And I'm going to let the Scripture speak for itself. Because the gospel matters. Jesus matters. When he came and he lived, he died, he resurrected, he did everything in between. He took care of a massive problem that existed between us and God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. And because of that, there is a war, there's enmity, there's a battle, there's a conflict between us and between God. And that conflict is real and it's raging. Now, you might not be shaking your fist at God and ignoring him every day, but if you're here today and you don't know Christ, there is an innate battle between you and God. There's the values and the truth that God wants you to live out, and they're the values and the truth that you're going to live out. And those things are going to be in conflict. So, does God hear the prayers of everybody? Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 4, the Scripture says this. It says, even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you knew it altogether. So the short answer is yes. God knows the prayer of every person. Matter of fact, this Scripture says God knows the prayer of every person before they even pray it. Let me go a step further. He only doesn't know that. He knows the prayer of every person before they think it. Imagine this. God has never had an occurrence. Nothing's ever occurred to God. Have you ever thought about that? Nothing has ever occurred to God. How many of y'all wake up in a new world every day? Anybody with me on that? I tell you, the older I get, the more I forget yesterday, and I wake up in a new world every morning. Just like my dog, my lab Layla. She wakes up in a new world every day, and then I'm with her. Man, the older I get, the more that's true. But it's not true of God. God has never had an occurrence. He's never had a thought. He's never discovered something. He's never not known anything. So before you've thought it, before you've prayed it, before you've imagined it, matter of fact, before you were even born, God knew the prayers that you were going to pray. So if you're here today and you're wondering, does God hear the prayers of everyone? I would go as far as say, not only that, he knew them before they were born. But that's not really the issue. When we say, does God hear? That's not really what we mean. What we mean is, does God honor the prayers of everyone? That's what we mean. And here's how we reason it out. We all know John 3:16 because we've seen it at the football game, right? I mean, we've all seen it at the football game. You know, somebody's up there with John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world. We get that part. God loves the world. So obviously, because God loves the world, reason with me, because God loves the world, he hears everything. He's going to honor everything because God loves the world. You see how that reasoning works? The only problem is it's wrong. Let me show you some other things. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 66:18. The first thing that God says that will cause him not to hear is this. In Psalm 66:18, the Bible says, if I hold iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does that mean, to hold iniquity in my heart? That doesn't mean that you've sinned. Everybody has sinned. We all get that, right? That's not what it is. But when sin takes up residence in your life, it's unrepentant, it's not recognized, and it begins to define who you are. When those behaviors begin to define who you are, drive who you are, and dictate who you are, you're not honoring the Lord in any way, shape, and form, and frankly, you're not on his team. Now, think about it. Think about it. We get it down here. Now, how would it be if your football team, whatever it might be, honored the quarterback from your rival team? I mean, quarterback from the rival teams beat you every year, man, you know, put the hammer down on you, blah, 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 blah. But then at the end of the year banquet, they bring the guy in, they give him a trophy, they set him up front, and they honor him. How many people would think that was just insane and it makes no sense? But it's interesting, when we apply our logic to the Lord, we don't want that to be true. We want it to be true that I can live like I want, do like I want, think like I want, ignore God, not regard God in any point in my life on a daily basis. I mean, if I see Jeopardy, I do pretty good at the, you know, the Bible category on Jeopardy. I'm a good Jeopardy Christian, right? You know? But when it comes to a real, intentional relationship, I don't play on God's team. So if you're here today and your prayers have been distant and your prayers have been cold and prayers have been dry, understand that it might be because on a daily basis you're playing for the other team. Now, God loves you, and that's not his plan for you. He wants you to walk with him and honor him and read the word and follow the word and love people and love him. That's what he wants for you. But if you don't go down that road, scripture's pretty clear that God will not honor your prayers. There's another situation that happens. Why does prayer seem to be cold, and what does God have to say about it? In Isaiah 59:2, the Bible says this, but now your iniquities, your sins, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. This verse became famous back in France in 1647. There's a guy named Blaise Pascal and another cat named René Descartes. Now, if you know anything about history, you know, those are guys that, or at least Descartes, was one of the main players in starting the Enlightenment thinking. Okay, that was sort of his contribution. René Descartes was the guy who crawled into the French oven. Now, a French oven isn't like what you buy at Lowe's, okay? The French oven back then was a big, huge, huge, you know, thing, you know, and you could, massive, and he crawled into it. I assume it wasn't lit, but anyway, he crawled into it, and he sat there and thought for a little while. I guess that's one way to get away from the kids, right? And we crawl into the oven, they'll follow you there. So he crawled in there, and he's thinking for a little bit, and he comes out, and he says this. He says, "Cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am." And that statement was one of the foundational ideas that launched the Age of Reason or the Enlightenment. And he had a contemporary. Pascal was a lot younger than Descartes, and Pascal was a very strong Christian. And Descartes was trying to reason out why there was so much trouble in the world, why France was slumping, why it seemed that France was declining, why all this was happening. And so that sort of launched him down this road of self-reason. Well, Pascal, being a believer, went down a different road. And Pascal went down the road, and he came across Isaiah 59:2. And he said, based upon the Bible, I know the problem in France. God has hidden himself. He gave a speech called The Hidden God, the creative title, right? Right out of Isaiah 59:2, The Hidden God. Because of the state of the French people, Pascal reasoned, God has hidden himself. Some of you pray, but God doesn't descend. And you wonder, does God even hear? Great news is, he knows your prayers before you speak them. But the other side is this. If you're playing for the other team, or if you're living in a way that God has turned his back, God won't honor the prayers that you pray. Now, the great news is, that's not where he wants you to stay. That's not his idea for you to stay there. It wasn't his idea for you to get there to begin with. That can change. Just to drill the point home, John 9:31 says this. John 9:31 says, we know that God does not lie or does not listen to sinners. But listen, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, he does listen and he will honor their prayers. Man, so here's the transition. If you're here today and you're wondering why your prayer life is flatlined, if you're here today wondering what the problem that is, there is a problem, and that problem could be sin. But when you transition from that spot, God is eager to hear and eager to honor. It's sort of like this. This is my cell phone. I'm going to turn it off because sure enough, somebody will call me in the middle of church. Probably Carson. This is my cell phone. And here's what I know about a cell phone. If you don't pay your bill for a couple of months, they shut it off. Does anybody know that theoretically? I'm not saying actually, or I'm just saying theoretically. Do you know that they will shut your phone off? Now, what's crazy about that is even when they shut the phone off, you can always make one call, 911. You can always make the 911 call. Always make it. When your back is against the wall, when the chips are down, when you're in the worst situation you could be in, there's always help, even if there's a debt problem. You see, here's the issue. There is a debt problem between us and God. Actually, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians in a minute, and what we're going to see is God says that God reconciled the world to himself through Christ, right, in his death on the cross. And now God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? It means to take care of the debt. That's what it means. There's this huge problem between us and God. It's called sin. And that's why our prayers are not honored. That's why it seems like the ceiling closes in when we pray. That's when it, because some of you have been there, and man, I pray you're not there after today, but some of you have been there when life happens and situations occur, you feel like you're walking utterly alone through that. I mean, it seems like you're isolated and there's no one around you. I tell you today that it doesn't have to be like that. But there is a debt that we owe. There is a sin issue between us and God. And here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. It says that God reconciled the world. In other words, he took care of the debt. Remember what we said about the gospel? The gospel is about Jesus. Now, when we think of the gospel, we immediately think about what? Going to heaven. Not a bad thought. The older I get, the more I like to think about heaven. Anybody with me on that? I mean, you like to think about heaven? How many of you just don't like to think? Anybody with me on that? All right, we want to think about heaven, but there's more to it than that. The gospel says that Jesus took care of the sin debt, which means now we have access to the throne of grace, which means when we pray, we can encounter God in profound ways. Right now, the gospel isn't just about there and then, in the by and by. The gospel is about now. The impact in your life is now. You get to go before God, the creator of the universe, and pray. You get to talk to the one who created everything. How amazing is that? When was the last time? Let me ask you this. When was the last time in your prayer life? When was the last time in your life you prayed? And Rudolf Otto, German theologian, wrote a book called The Idea of the Holy. And in the Idea of the Holy, Otto describes this encounter you can have with the Lord as the noumena and the sense of awe. When was the last time in your prayer life? When was the last time in your church life? When was maybe ever that you've prayed and you have sensed the noumena, the Spirit, and the Spirit descending and creating a sense of awe in your life? When was the last time you were caught up? You were enraptured. Listen, through your prayer time. When was the last time prayer was more than words flung at the ceiling? When was the last time the noumena and the sense of awe was there? He went on and he described God as the mysterium tremendum de fascinans. I wish I had come up with that, right? Isn't that cool? Can't spell it, so I could have never come up with it, right? Spelling is a problem. So, the mysterium tremendum de fascinans, the great mystery that's confounding. When was the last time in your prayer life? When was the last time in your walk with the Lord that you encountered through the Spirit the mysterium tremendum de fascinans? When was the last time that God totally mystified you by his very presence? When was the last time he became more real to you than the room you were in? When was the last time in prayer you were moved to your knees, not out of religious ritual, though there's nothing wrong with that, but out of a sense of awesomeness and surrender? When was the last time you were caught up in your time of prayer and what was going to be 5 minutes turned into 30 and you had no clue? When was the last time there was a reality of God in your life that changed the trajectory of your living? 2 Corinthians says that there's a debt problem. And God was the reconciler. He was the one who came down and paid the debt and reestablished the connection. If you're here today, and what I've said has just sort of gone over your head and you have no experiential connection with it at all, let me ask you to consider surrendering your heart and your life to Jesus Christ today. Telling the Lord you're sorry for your sins. Asking him to forgive you. Asking him to be your Lord and your Savior. And beginning the process of being Christian. If you've not done it, I pray you'll do it today. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and declared the gospel, the kerygma, the good news, and said, part of this is what I am doing for you allows you access to the throne of grace. And that's part of the gospel that I pray that you enjoy every day, because you get to. Every day you can have those encounters with the Lord because of the gospel. Because of what Jesus did. You are loved today by your Heavenly Father more than you can imagine. He's got a plan for you bigger and greater than anything you've ever dreamed of. He wants to walk with you by grace and give you the life you've always dreamed of. I hope you'll take that step today. Pray with me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that this reconciliation, this debt payment happened because of Jesus. Scripture tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead, and if we declare that he is Lord, the Bible uses this phrase, not me, that you'll be saved. If you're here today and you've never taken that step, if you've never had that encounter with the Lord, if you've never sensed his presence more real than the air you breathe, if that's never been true of your life, I wonder if you would extend your faith to the Lord today. The faith that God's given you. You can't do what you can't do, but you can do what you can. And so, if you're here today, just pray this quietly in your heart and your mind. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe that. Thank you for resurrecting from the grave. I believe that's true and it's real and it happened. Jesus, I declare you Lord now over my life and I surrender myself to you. Thank you for hearing me and forgiving me. Holy Spirit, thank you for now coming into my heart and sealing me to the day of redemption, putting your signet ring stamp on my life that I am forever yours. Now, Holy Spirit, fill me and control me so I can do your will and do your work. If you prayed that prayer today, we would never embarrass you or call you out or do that. We don't do that here. But in just a minute, we're going to be done. And I'm going to be down front for a little while. I would love for you to come and talk to me so we can talk to you about baptism. If you don't have a Bible, we can get you a Bible. We can help you whatever way we can help you take those next steps of faith. Two people made that step this morning in the first service. Two people took those steps today already. You can too. Well, Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your love and your kindness. I thank you for your forgiveness and for your grace. And Lord, for those who made decisions today in their heart and their mind, I pray they'll have the courage to come talk to me afterwards and we can talk about baptism and talk about next steps in their life so they can grow with you. So Father, please, I pray you just draw them forward, awaken them, Lord, to new life in you. Father, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you all so much. Got a couple of announcements for you. Ushers, come on up. Ushers, come on up. You can come up. Ushers, come on up. We're going to pray. We're going to receive our offering today, and a couple of things we're going to ask. If you're a guest with us, the only thing we want from you is this card. If you're a guest with us, please give us this card. Fill it out. Put your prayer requests on the back. We would love to pray for you. Please, please, please let us pray for you. If you don't want to give us your name, that's cool. At least let us pray for you. So write down, and we will pray for you in the days ahead. You can put that in the offering plate. If the plate passes by, that's fine. We have boxes at the exits. At all the doors, you can slip them in the box, and it'll be collected tomorrow, and we really do want to pray for you. We give here at Grace for three reasons. One, because Jesus is Lord, amen? Two, because the gospel is the most important message in the world. And three, the Bible teaches that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so we want your heart to be connected to the work of the gospel, and so we give you the opportunity to give. Let's pray. Father, I pray we give with a cheerful heart because you said that's what you honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, Ryan.
Amen. A couple of quick announcements for you this week. Wednesday, we'll be doing our normal thing. Adults will be meeting in the chapel. Teenagers will be meeting. That's middle school, 6th through 12th grade. We'll be meeting in the gym for an open gym time, kind of playing some games, 6:30 to 8 o'clock for the students, 6:30 to 7:30, 7:45 for the adults. We'd love to have you come and be a part of that with us. There's lots of things going on in here. I do want to call your attention. There is a barbecue fundraiser we're doing for the youth. We've pushed it back a couple of extra Sundays because Michael Woody, who's helping put this all together and do this, had some things come up. So we're going to do it later on in August. It's $8 a plate, and all the proceeds are going to the youth ministry to help us continue to just do what we do. Part of that is I'd like, if it's okay, to recognize our students who are going to be gone next week and ask you to pray for us. We leave Friday to go to Serve Venture in Orlando. So there are 22 students and 4 adults. So if you're a student and an adult, come up this way real quick. Just hurry, come this way while I'm talking. We leave Friday morning to go to Orlando. We're going to come, just line up across the front up here so everybody can see you guys. Okay, good. We are going to do service projects in Orlando, working with several different things. We're going to be working with a women's shelter. Some of us will be going to work with Give Kids the World, which works with families who have terminally ill children. We're going to be working with Harvest Time International, which does a food bank for people who are in need. So we're going to be serving a lot in Orlando, but we are going to be gone Friday to Monday. So I'm going to ask you as a congregation and as a church family, pick out a face and pray for that face this week. If you don't know who that person is, come and grab them after the service and say, hey, what's your name? So that these students, one, know that you're praying for them. But pray that God will just bless them and use them, because I know he's going to. But he's going to do some amazing things in their lives, and he's going to change our community when we come back. So we look forward to seeing that. But as a church family, can we stop and pray real quick, Pastor Terry? You mind doing that? I know we love to pray here.
Yep. Yeah, man. Yeah, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. Well, Lord, you see these students who are giving up part of their summer. They're dedicating that part of that summer to you, to your work, and to your mission. Father, I pray you be with them as they travel to Orlando and back. Please keep them safe. Father, while they're on mission and on the job, pray you keep them safe, give them wisdom. Lord, I pray their impact will be seen immediately, but it'll be felt for many years to come. Lord, I thank you for Ryan, for Jennifer, for their leadership. Lord, bless these students now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Awesome. Hey, you guys, just grab a seat on the front row so people can come and hug you when you're done. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor Terry. Just sit across the front.
Okay, a couple of quick things. Our church has partnered with a ministry that's developing here in Putnam County called Young Life. How many people ever heard of Young Life? You heard of Young Life? Young Life is a phenomenal ministry. My wife and I were around it in Memphis. I was around it in college years ago. It is a phenomenal ministry. In short, it's this. We all know that there are students that will not come to church. Why? There's a lot of reasons, but they won't. So what Young Life does is they meet the students where they are, on the campus, in their life, and they practice what's called incarnational ministry. I love that phrase. I've robbed it and stolen it for years. An incarnational ministry is simple. It's becoming Jesus for the people who don't know Jesus. Everyone should be smiling now. All right? That is a wonderful thing. And these volunteers and folks who are helping with this, is going to happen, again, just sort of to carry on this. You're going to hear Young Life criticized and besmirched in our community, because people are going to say they're stealing our kids, they're taking our kids from church, and it's going to be very territorial. You need to know the position of grace. We affirm, support, and celebrate Young Life, because here's what we know. They're going to reach students with the gospel and for the kingdom that we won't. And we are all about the kingdom of God here. And so... they got a couple of fundraisers coming up. If you eat out, Tuesday, August 7th, Zaxby's. So if you're planning on eating out, it's just good to go to Zaxby's. 10% of what they collect that night will go to Young Life. So please do that. There's also sort of a get-to-know Young Life party coming up on Saturday, August 11th. These flyers will be in the back. If you know students that won't come here, maybe they'll come there. And what happens is when God reaches them, then they start to connect to the local church. So it's a process. It doesn't happen in a day. It takes years sometimes, but that's okay. This is a journey, not a sprint. So please support Young Life. That is a wonderful thing. You will absolutely love it for sure. I'm trying to think if I forgot anything. Last thing, 40 Days of Purpose. I'm going to mention it every single Sunday until it kicks off. It is a church-wide study we'll be doing. Rick Warren wrote it about 18 years ago. It is a phenomenal study. It's not the study that is so great. It's the fact that if you do it, you will put yourself before the Lord for 40 days in a row. That's the power of it. Anything that puts you in front of the Lord for 40 days, I'm a fan. So we'll be doing 40 Days of Purpose. The sermons will be based on that. Your small groups, Sunday school classes, and all that will be designed around that. And so want to encourage you. Please, 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 please. If I have any change in my pocket, you know, as far as influence with you, I'm going to spend it on this. Connect with a life group. Connect with a Sunday school class. We'll be starting a new Sunday school class in the fall. We'll tell you more about that later. You will get this information everywhere you turn. It will help you if you avail yourself to the Lord. And so please, please, please think about that. Listen, I love you. Thank you for being grace. Thank you for being a safe place to hear a dangerous message. Thank you for being a place where people are free to walk out their faith as God leads them. We love you. I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. It is a real honor. Stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, thank you so much for today. Father, thank you for how you moved on hearts and lives in the first service and in this service. Thank you, Father, for how you're speaking to us, leading us. And now, Lord, I pray that you bless and be with every person in this room. Father, as they exit this building, I pray that they will encounter the greatest week of their life. Holy Spirit of God, speak to each of us, lead and guide us in the way that is pleasing to you. Lord, when we fail, help us get up. When we falter, help us to stand. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness and kindness in our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, bring somebody with you next week. We're still talking about the gospel. It's a big subject. Hey, Doc.